The Ministry of Health and Healing, Chapter 13, The Helpless Poor. When all has been done that can be done in helping the poor to help themselves, there still remain the widow, the fatherless, the aged, the helpless, and the sick, who need sympathy and care. Never should these be neglected. God Himself has committed them to the mercy, love, and tender care of all whom He has made His stewards. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. In a special sense, Christ has laid upon His church the duty of caring for the needy among its own members. He permits His poor to be in every church, they are always to be among us, and He places upon the members of the church a personal responsibility to care for them. As the members of a true family care for one another, ministering to the sick, supporting the weak, teaching the ignorant, training the inexperienced, so is the household of faith to care for its needy and helpless ones. Upon no consideration are these to be passed by. Widows and Orphans. The widow and fatherless are the objects of the Lord's special care. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy habitation. Your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is His name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Leave your fatherless children, I will preserve them alive, and let your widows trust in me. Psalm 68, verse 5, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 5, Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 11. Many a father, when called upon to part from his loved ones, has died resting in faith upon God's promise to care for them. The Lord provides for the widow and the fatherless not by a miracle in sending manna from heaven, nor by sending ravens to bring them food, but by a miracle upon human hearts, expelling selfishness and unsealing the fountains of Christ-like love. He commits the afflicted and bereaved ones to His followers as a precious trust. They have the very strongest claim upon our sympathy. In homes supplied with life's comforts, in granaries filled with the yield of abundant harvests, in warehouses stocked with the products of the loom, and vaults stored with gold and silver, God has supplied means for the sustenance of these needy ones. He calls upon us to be channels of His bounty. Many a widowed mother with her fatherless children is bravely striving to bear her double burden, often working far beyond her strength in order to keep her little ones with her and to provide for their needs. She has little time for their training and instruction, little opportunity to surround them with influences that would brighten their lives. She needs encouragement, sympathy, and tangible help. God calls upon us to supply to these children, so far as we can, what they lack from a father's care. Instead of standing aloof, complaining of their faults and of the trouble they may cause, help them in every way possible. Seek to aid the careworn mother, lighten her burdens. Then there are the multitudes of children who have been wholly deprived of the guidance of parents and the subduing influence of a Christian home. Let Christians open their hearts and homes to these helpless ones. The work that God has committed to them as an individual duty should not be turned over to some benevolent institution or left to the chances of the world's charity. If the children have no relatives able to give them care, the members of the church should provide homes for them. He who created us planned that we should be associated in families, and a child's nature will develop best in the loving atmosphere of a Christian home. Many who have no children of their own could do a good work in caring for the children of others. Instead of giving attention to pets, lavishing affection upon animals, let them give their attention to little children, whose characters they may fashion after the divine similitude. Place your love upon the homeless members of the human family. See how many of these children you can bring up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Christians who do this will be greatly benefited themselves. The elderly. Older people also need the helpful influences of the family. If they no longer have their own home, the blessings and influences thus lost can best be made up in the home of fellow Christians. Encouraging them to share in the interests and occupations of the household will help them feel that they are still useful. Make them feel that their help is valued, that there is something yet for them to do in ministering to others, and it will cheer their hearts and give interest to their lives. So far as possible, those who are near the end of life's journey should remain among friends and familiar associations. Let them worship among those whom they have known and loved. Let them be cared for by loving and tender hands. whenever the members of a family are able to do so, they should count it a privilege to minister to their own kindred. When this cannot be, the work belongs to the church, and it should be accepted both as a privilege and as a duty. All who possess Christ's spirit will have a tender regard for the feeble and the elderly. The presence in our homes of one of these helpless ones is a precious opportunity to cooperate with Christ in his ministry of mercy and to develop traits of character like his. There is a blessing for both old and young in associating together. The young may bring sunshine into the hearts and lives of the aged. Those whose hold on life is weakening need the benefit of contact with the hopefulness and buoyancy of youth, and the young may be helped by the wisdom and experience of the old. Above all, they need to learn the lesson of unselfish ministry. The presence of a person in need of sympathy and forbearance and self-sacrificing love would be to many a household a priceless blessing. It would sweeten and refine the home life and call forth in old and young those Christ-like graces that would make them beautiful with a divine beauty and rich in heaven's imperishable treasure. A test of character. You have the poor with you always, Christ said, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Mark chapter 14, verse 7, James chapter 1, verse 27. Christ tests his professed followers by placing among them the helpless and the poor, to be dependent upon their care. Our love and service for his needy children prove the genuineness of our love for him. To neglect them is to declare ourselves false disciples, strangers to Christ and his love. If we were to do all we could in providing homes and families for orphans, many others would still require care. Many have received an inheritance of evil. They are unpromising, unattractive, perverse, but they are the purchase of the blood of Christ, and in his sight are just as precious as are our own little ones. Unless a helping hand is held out to them, they will grow up in ignorance and drift into vice and crime. Many of these children could be rescued through the work of orphanages. Such institutions, to be most effective, should be modeled as closely as possible after the plan of a Christian home. Instead of large establishments bringing great numbers together, there should be small institutions in a number of places. Instead of being in or near some town or large city, they should be in the country, where land can be secured for cultivation and the children can be brought into contact with nature and can have the benefits of industrial training. Those in charge of such a home should be men and women who are large-hearted, cultured, and self-sacrificing, men and women who undertake the work from love to Christ and who train the children for Him. Under such care, many homeless and neglected ones may be prepared to become useful members of society, an honor to Christ, and a help to others. Many despise economy, equating it with stinginess and narrowness, but economy is consistent with the broadest liberality. Indeed, without economy, there can be no true liberality. We are to save that we may give. No one can practice real benevolence without self-denial. Only by a life of simplicity, self-denial, and close economy is it possible for us to accomplish the work appointed us as Christ's representatives. Pride and worldly ambition must be put out of our hearts. In all our work, the principle of unselfishness revealed in Christ's life is to be carried out. Upon the walls of our homes, the pictures and the furnishings, we are to read, "Bring to your house the poor who are cast out." On our wardrobes we are to see written, as with the finger of God, "Clothe the naked." In the dining room, on the table laden with abundant food, we should see traced, "Is it not to share your bread with the hungry?" Isaiah chapter 58, verse 7. 1,000 doors of usefulness are open before us. Often we lament the scanty resources available. But if Christians were thoroughly in earnest, they could multiply the resources 1,000-fold. It is selfishness, self-indulgence, that bars the way to our usefulness. How much money is expended for things that are mere idols, things that engross thought and time and strength that should be put to a higher use? How much means is wasted on expensive houses and furniture, on selfish pleasures, luxurious and unwholesome food, hurtful indulgences? How much is squandered on gifts that benefit no one? For things that are needless, often harmful, professed Christians are today spending more, many times more, than they spend in seeking to rescue souls from the tempter. Many who profess to be Christians spend so much on dress that they have nothing to spare for the needs of others. They think they must have costly ornaments and expensive clothing regardless of the needs of those who have difficulty providing themselves with even the plainest clothing. My sisters, if you would bring your manner of dressing into conformity with the rules given in the Bible, you would have an abundance with which to help your poorer sisters. You would have not only means, but time. Often this is most needed. There are many whom you might help with your suggestions, your tact and skill. Show them how to dress simply and yet tastefully. Many a woman remains away from the house of God because her shabby, ill-fitting garments are in such striking contrast to the dress of others. Many a sensitive spirit cherishes a sense of bitter humiliation and injustice because of this contrast. And because of it, many are led to doubt the reality of religion and to harden their hearts against the gospel. Christ commands us, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." While thousands are every day perishing from famine, bloodshed, fire, and plague, everyone who loves people should see that nothing is wasted, that nothing is needlessly expended that might benefit a human being. It is wrong to waste our time, wrong to waste our thoughts. We lose every moment that we devote to self-seeking. If every moment were valued and rightly employed, we would have time for everything that we need to do for ourselves or for the world. In the expenditure of money, in the use of time, strength, opportunities, let every Christian look to God for guidance. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. James chapter 1, verse 5. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Highest, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. He who hides his eyes will have many curses, but he who gives to the poor will not lack. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 27. Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Luke chapter 6, verse 38.